In our last study, we were in Genesis chapter number 1, and we learned about God's name Elohim. That was 2 weeks ago. Last week we had the weather and the uncertainty with ice and all of that, and so we did not have service. But we said this, that Elohim means strong one. It's used 32 times in Genesis chapter number 1, and there's 31 verses in that chapter, and 32 times we read the word God, the English word, and it's Elohim, the Hebrew word, and we find that there's an obvious connection with the name of God Elohim to the fact that He is Creator. This evening, as we come to Genesis chapter number 14, we're going to learn about God's name El Elyon. And it's an interesting passage of Scripture in which we'll kind of make our way through here quickly as we focus specifically on the name of God that is revealed to us here. El Elyon means the Most High God. And I said to you last week that Elohim is the plural, El is the singular, and that oftentimes with the compound names of God, you'll see El, and then the other Hebrew word here this evening, El Elyon, and we'll see El Shaddai. There's a number of them, and El Shaddai is a very common one that many people are familiar with today. And so this evening, in Genesis chapter number 14, there's a battle that takes place to begin the chapter. We're not going to focus on that battle that takes place, but there's a number of things that take place there in the beginning verses of the Scripture with regard to rebellion and fighting and battle and so on and so forth. And we find that one of the significant things that takes place is that Lot is taken captive. And when Lot is taken captive, the Bible tells us that Abram, his name's not been changed yet, I'll often refer to him as Abraham this evening, but Abraham did not go, of course he wasn't part of the battle, but he heard about, so then he does become part of the battle. And we read of that beginning in verse number 14, and we find that Abraham gets involved, and he experiences complete victory. Notice in verse 14, the Bible says, when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. Now that's way up in the north part of Israel, and it's way up there in the north. And Dan, as you know, as we'll go through, as you study through the Scriptures and you find about what takes place there and the idol worship and all of that. But we find he's way up north, and it says that he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And then notice verse 16, this is where he experiences this complete victory. It says, and he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. Immediately as Abraham returns from this complete victory, he only gets involved because of finding out that Lot had been taken. And we find that he experiences this complete victory. And upon his return, we find that there are two interactions that are recorded for us in this text of Scripture. One of them is with the king of Sodom, and the other one is with the king of Salem. And we find that the king of Sodom is mentioned here in verse number 17, and the first one that he would meet after this slaughter. And then the Bible immediately tells us in verse number 18 that Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And so this is the interaction that takes place. It's very interesting if you think about the timing of what goes on here, because Melchizedek speaks with Abraham, and God's name El Elyon is revealed to us for the first time in this text of Scripture. And we find that it's of interest because in verse 17, it's the king of Sodom that first is going to meet Abram upon his return. Now, the king of Sodom is not able to give to Abram what his intended communication is until verse number 21, and in between verse 17 and verse 21 is when Melchizedek, the king of Salem, comes in and has this conversation with Abram. And why is that so significant? Well, the reality is that what Abram, the truth that was revealed to Abraham from Melchizedek, the king of Salem, is a truth that is immediately given to us as having an immediate impact in his life. And so important that we understand that. Again, When we speak about the various names of God, we've said this multiple times in this brief study. We've only been a few weeks in now, but we've said often that it's through the names that God is revealing to us various aspects of His nature and of His character. And so we find here that Melchizedek, in verse 18, we can notice, if you want to take notes, notice number one, what Melchizedek says to Abraham and what he says about El Elyon, the Most High God. And we find that in verse 18, it says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God." And so that's the Most High God there. That's El Elyon in the Hebrew. And then verse 19, it says, "And he," speaking of Melchizedek, "blessed him," speaking of Abraham, "and said, Blessed be Abraham of the Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." And so we find that as Melchizedek begins to have this conversation and this interaction is recorded for us, that he says to Abraham that he says, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God." And this is the first time that this name is used, speaking of our God, and Abram is being exposed after this battle, all that had taken place. Lot had been taken captive, all of these things going on. He comes back, the king of Sodom. Of course, we know things about Sodom and Gomorrah and all of that, and all that would take place, and the king of Sodom is going to meet him. But before they can have a conversation, God ordains for Melchizedek to have this conversation. Now, if you study Psalm 100 and you or 101 and you look in Hebrews chapter 7, you'll see further revelation for us with regard to Melchizedek. And that the Lord Jesus Christ is not a priest after the order of Aaron, the Aaronic priesthood, but after the order of Melchizedek, and you'll see that connection. But we really want to focus on the message that is delivered to Abraham, because here what's happening is God is allowing for Abraham to understand something about the character and nature of God that before this moment he didn't fully understand. And so what is it that he's going to reveal to him? Well, that he is the Most High God, first of all. But then he says this at the end of verse number 19, that he is the possessor of heaven and earth. Now, it's interesting because when we looked at the name Elohim, we find that God reveals to us that, yes, he is the strong one, but there's that connection with the name Elohim with creation, that he is the creator. Not only is he creator, Elohim, but he is the possessor of heaven and earth, El Elyon, the Most High God, who is also the possessor. He created and it's his. I want you to think about that this evening just for a moment. When we think about our own lives, that he created man, that we're created in his image, and of course we understand through the fall and all of those things, but as we've been reconciled, redeemed this evening, for those of us that are saved, that we belong to God. He is our Lord and our Master, and we'll look at that next week as we enter into verse chapter number 15. And looking at the name Adonai, Lord, and we find here that Abraham is receiving this information that God is the Most High God and he's the possessor of heaven and earth. Notice, if you will, just a couple of verses of scripture. Hold your place there in Genesis chapter 14, but look over in the book of Exodus in chapter 9, and I want you to notice what Moses is going to say to Pharaoh. And of course, we know some things about Egypt and about their polytheism and all that was going on there. And we find that Moses is going to have this conversation in the midst of the plagues. In Exodus 9, what we're going to look at in verse 29 is during the seventh plague. And we find that Moses says this. Notice in Exodus 9 and verse 29, "And Moses said unto him, As soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord." Now that's all caps, that's Jehovah. And it says this, "And the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail." Notice that thou mayest know how that the Lord, that the earth is the Lord's. And we talk about this phrase back in Genesis chapter 14, that the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. And here we find that it's of interest in Exodus chapter number 9, that Moses is going to speak to Pharaoh. Of course, we know by this time that this, many of the magicians and these religious people there, they've already said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. Don't you know what's happened? How long are you going to let them do these things? I mean, the land is desolate. And here we find that Moses says, I'm going to go out and I'm going to spread my hands to the Lord and all of it's going to cease. But it's not because of me, it's not because of my power, it's because God is revealing to you who He is and that you would know that He, that the earth is the Lord's. And we live in a time today that there are many people that have misunderstanding with regard to, you'll hear people talk about Mother Nature, you'll hear people talk about all these things with climate, this and that, and so on and so forth. And the reality is that God is not only the creator, but He's the possessor and He is the sustainer. And we see that throughout the scriptures. In the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 32, notice what the Bible says here. With regard to this same truth and same idea with regard to El Elyon, the Most High God. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, it's the Song of Moses. We're near the end of the book of Deuteronomy, and we understand that Moses will soon die, and then Joshua will be the human leader to take the children of Israel into the land of promise. And we find that as you look at the Song of Moses here in Deuteronomy 32, notice in verse number 8, the Bible says this, when the Most High, that's El Elyon, that's the Hebrew there, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when He separated the sons of Adam, He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Now, why is that significant that Moses would reference this and why he would use this terminology? Of course, we know all scripture is given by inspiration of God, but it's certainly interesting that when this name of God is first revealed to us in Genesis chapter 14, the Bible tells us that He is the possessor of heaven and earth. And if He is the possessor of heaven and earth, then it's well within His right, and I know He's God, and so don't misunderstand how I'm saying that, but He is the one that's going to give the land to whom He's going to give the land to. Why? Because He's the possessor of heaven and earth. He's the creator. It's His. And here we find that Moses, while he's rejoicing, he speaks about the Most High, how He divided to the nations their inheritance when He separated the sons of Adam. And God is the one that's in control. Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse number 26, to keep the thought even to the New Testament and understanding this truth with regard to the Lord being the possessor of heaven and earth, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 26, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth is the Lord's. Now, He gave us a responsibility to be stewards and to be good stewards, but we also understand as we look at the whole of the Scripture that one day this earth is going to melt with a fervent heat. You read 2 Peter chapter number 3, it's very clear what's going to happen. And yes, we're to be good stewards, but we understand that He is the possessor of heaven and earth. And so as we go back to Genesis 14, and all of this, I hope we're going to, as I unpack it or give this to you and we unpack this truth tonight, that we can understand the significance of this conversation between Abraham and Melchizedek and how important it is that God would allow him to have this knowledge at the time in which he did. So we find that in verse number 19, He's the Most High God. He's the possessor of heaven and earth. Notice in verse number 20, and blessed be the Most High God. He uses the name again, El Elyon, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. So what do we find in verse number 20 as we begin looking at that verse of Scripture? We find that as Melchizedek is having this conversation with Abram here, that he reveals who this name of God as being the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, but also he makes it clear that it was God, the Most High God, that gave deliverance. It was not Abram. It was not the fact that he had, as we read in verse number 14, these trained servants that were born in his house, 318 of them, and pursued him and all that took place. And he divided himself against them, according to verse number 15. And we're not going to look at the strategy and the manpower and say, well, that's the reason for the victory. No, it's very clear that it's God, the Most High God, that provided the deliverance and that gave the complete victory. So we find that Melchizedek is going to have this conversation, is going to explain these things to Abram, but then we notice how Abram will respond. As we look at the end of verse number 20 and down through verse number 24, notice secondly this evening how Abram responds. It's interesting, at the end of verse number 20, what does he do? He gave him tithes of all. And it's an interesting response. I believe that as you look here at this passage of Scripture and you see what's taking place and you look at this, and we find the response of Abraham is very interesting, as understanding he, God, the Most High God, is the possessor of heaven and earth, and then immediately he gives him tithes of all. Of all of what? Well, the Bible says in verse number 16 that he brought back all the goods and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the women also and the people. He had complete victory over that whole conglomeration of armies that were in battle to begin Genesis chapter 14, and he brings them back safely and he has all of this, all of these goods, and the Bible says that he gave him tithes of all. But then notice this. Then we pick up with the interaction between Abraham and the king of Sodom. The king of Sodom went out to meet him in verse 17, but before he could have interaction with Abraham, Melchizedek, the king of Salem, has this conversation in this revelation of this of God's name, El Elyon, and now the king of Sodom comes. And notice what the king of Sodom says in verse number 21. He said unto Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself." It's kind of a bold statement or demand, if you will, of the king of Sodom, for he had no grounds for which to make this request whatsoever. And we find that it was Abram that had gone out and had experienced the complete victory to bring all of these things back. But what's really insightful is the response of Abram in verse 22, where the Bible says that Abram said to the king of Sodom, notice what he says, "I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth." How did he know that? Well, we just studied the passage, and we know that he knows what he professes in verse number 22 because of the conversation that he had with Melchizedek, verse 18 through verse number 20. And so because God revealed to Abraham this truth about who he is, and through this new name that Abraham had not previously known, he reveals that he, God, is the Most High God, and he is the possessor of heaven and earth. Now all of a sudden, when the king of Sodom comes and says to Abram, "Give me the persons," but then he says, "Take the goods to thyself. I want the people, you can keep all the things." And Abraham says, "But I've lift up mine eyes unto the Lord, the Most High God." He uses the same name that had just been given to him by Melchizedek. And then he uses the phrase, "the possessor of heaven and earth." I believe that it reveals to us that Abraham learned the lesson that was intended for him to learn, and that he understood that in that moment that he had full dependence upon God. He did not need anything that the king of Sodom thought that he might be able to offer or might be able to benefit Abraham in any way. No, Abraham was lifting up his hand to the Lord, and he was trusting complete dependence in the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. We find that this not only reveals to us his trust and his dependence, but he goes a step further in verses 23 and 24. Notice what he says, "that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. Save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Why do we look at this portion of Scripture? Why do we look at this situation with Abraham having this understanding of God taking and through the obviously, as we look at God and just the timing of everything that happens and the providence of God and the provision on allowing Melchizedek, I believe Christophanes, and we could talk about all of that with regard to Melchizedek, but we understand that this message that's delivered to Abraham is it's just on time. It's a vital message. That Abraham needed this information, he needed this revelation at the moment in which he was going to have this conversation with the king of Sodom, and this offer was to be made with regard to you can keep all these goods. And so we find that Abraham is taking and he's revealing this trust that he has in God as being the possessor of heaven and earth. So this evening, as we begin to think about our own lives and we begin to think about what someone might try to offer to us, the way that the king of Sodom comes and seeks to offer to Abram these goods, and Abram says, no, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. I want you to understand I'm trusting in the Lord. I've lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. And this evening, when we begin to understand as Abram is in this situation and he reveals to us his trust, we're reminded of the truth that we looked at in Psalm 11. Turn there very quickly. And I know that we studied this for several weeks here before we got into the study with regard to the names of God. But I think it's very interesting that we find the connection that is given to us here with regard to this truth tonight, where he says, I'm trusting in the Lord. Remember what David said, Psalm 11 in verse number 1, we started here several weeks ago, in the Lord put I my trust. We find that in chapter 9 of the book of Psalms, in verse number 10, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Of course, the very first lesson that we looked at with this study of the names of God, we looked at Psalm 91 and verse 14, where we talked about the fact that it says because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. I want to look at a few psalms here just this evening. I know I just referenced a few of them, but I want you to just think about the impact of what God reveals to us in His Word and how it should impact our lives. So often when I pray, Lord, help us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. I pray that publicly as we enter into a church service when we're going to hear the teaching and the preaching of God's Word. I pray that personally when I do my Bible reading each day, when I get into God's Word, I pray, God, help me to be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. I want to apply truth in my life. And here we have this great example of Abraham, where he's given revealed truth with regard to who God is, this aspect of God's character and nature, and he immediately responds to that by declaring without reservation his trust in the Most High God, the one who is the possessor of heaven and earth. And it's so amazing to me. Look at Psalm 57, if you will. And I want you to look at a few of these psalms that we'll look at just quickly, and then we'll get into our prayer time. But I want you to notice, and again, the name in each of these particular psalms that we'll look at, just three of them quickly this evening, is that Hebrew name for God, El Elyon. And notice in Psalm 57 in verse number 1, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. You see here in this psalm, and you notice how the psalmist begins, and the request for mercy, be merciful unto me, is mentioned twice in the first opening portion of that first sentence there. We find that he's speaking about the calamities that he's facing at the end of verse number one. He talks about God, how he's going to make God his refuge, and we find that in verse two, I'm going to cry unto God Most High. The reality is that He is the Most High God. He is, as we mentioned by way of introduction this evening, the fact that He not only is the Creator, Elohim, but He is the possessor and of heaven and earth. And it says here, unto God that performeth all things for me. You begin to think about the truth of God is able to do anything. What's too hard for God? Nothing. We'll see that in a couple of weeks when we look at the name El Shaddai as the context with regard to Abraham and all that will be dealt with. But I want you to be mindful this evening that here, because of the knowledge that the psalmist has, it impacts his trust, it impacts his prayer. Psalm 83 and verse number 18, notice here in this particular psalm, in Psalm 83 and verse number 18, the Bible says this, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. I want you to think about this just for a moment. When we look at verse 18 of Psalm 83, this is a different approach with regard to the knowledge that the psalmist has. This particular psalm is a psalm that is ascribed to Asaph, but it's a prayer, a desire that others would know, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. And I think about when you look at the book of Acts and you look at Paul when he's there in Athens, and he says that he was going through and he saw this tomb to this altar to the unknown God, and he says, Him declare I unto you. And what was Paul saying there? Well, really, he's saying the same thing that the psalmist in Psalm 83 is saying. I know who God is. But I wonder this evening, how much of a burden do we have for others to know who God is? Because so many people in our society today, they have a wrong understanding of who God is. They have an understanding of who God is based upon some maybe religious person, maybe some movie that they've seen, maybe some speech that they've heard from some whoever, politician or otherwise. And so many today have this misunderstanding of who God is, but for those of us that know Him, we ought to desire to make Him known. Was having a conversation yesterday, really just challenging myself and thinking about this truth of how much do we want to make our God known. And we know how great He is, but we also recognize that so many are ignorant of His greatness. They don't know that He is the Redeemer. They don't know, as we're looking this evening, that He is the Most High God. And I asked myself this question of, when's the last time I've shared the gospel with someone? And I was able to answer the question. I was able to go back in my mind and I could see the place. I could take you there right now, and I could see the face of the individual that I most recently shared the gospel with one-on-one. I wish they trusted Christ as their Savior, but they didn't. I have no control over that, and neither do you. But what we must really ask ourselves this evening is, when's the last time I've told anybody about my God? I'm talking about somebody that's not already in the church, somebody that doesn't already know how good our God is. It's easy for us to talk one to another and say, man, isn't God so good? And He answered prayer and He did this, and that's wonderful. And it strengthens us and it sharpens us. But the reality is that the prayer of the psalmist here is that others would know. We ought to have that same desire. I'm thankful this evening that God has revealed truth to us, but often said and known by all of us here this evening, to whom much is given, much is required. Psalm 91, and we'll finish here. This is the psalm that we started with a few weeks ago, and verse 14 is being kind of our starting point for this whole study on the names of God. But we see in Psalm 91 in verse number 1, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." I mentioned to you when we looked at this psalm a few weeks ago that there are several names of God that are used in those first two verses. But I want to focus this evening when the Bible says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." I want you to think about those two words, dwelleth and abide. You know, it's a wonderful thing that the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that He would allow us to dwell and abide in His presence. Isn't that amazing? I know it's Wednesday evening. I know we know the Lord. But I hope tonight we can just take a step back and just stand once again amazed at the very truth that the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, He allows for us. And you know you better than anyone else knows you. You know your weaknesses and you know your strengths. You know everything about you. You know things about yourself that no one else knows about you. And then God knows everything with perfect wisdom. And the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, He allows us to dwell and to abide in His presence. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me that God would love us so much that He wants to reveal Himself to us. And He uses these names to help us understand with a deeper level of clarity His nature and His character and His attributes. And He wants us to know tonight that He's the Most High God. He's the possessor of heaven and earth. And I'm thankful this evening for the truth of Genesis chapter 14 and the timing of the whole thing and how God allowed for, yes, the king of Sodom was coming, but oh, the king of Salem got there and was able to reveal truth to Abraham that he needed in that very moment of what he was going to deal with. This evening, we deal with things all the time. And we need to know that our God is the Most High God. He is the possessor of heaven and earth. Let's pray. Father, how we love You tonight. And I pray that You would help us, Lord, to recognize You for who You are. I pray, God, that You would help us tonight to abide and dwell in Your presence. What a privilege. What a privilege that we have. God, I pray that You'd give us a burden. As we read there the Psalm of Asaph, as we think about Paul in Athens, a burden that others might know who You are. We thank You for giving us this revealed truth, but we understand the responsibility that is ours to make You known. Would You help us to be faithful? Would You help us to be diligent to teach these truths to a generation that's coming behind us? Into a world that's lost and dying. Thank You for the privilege of prayer. We pray that You be honored and glorified through all that's said and done. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Does anyone need a prayer bulletin this evening? You got one? Anyone not?